And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to a special Monday mini edition of The Low Post podcast, where we are thrilled to be joined by one of the busiest men in the NBA bubble, a guy who just got through doing a lot of very rude things to Ja Morant late in the play-in game. Portland Trailblazers shooting guard CJ McCollum. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm hanging in. I'm tired from watching you guys play, frankly. You're the cardiac kids of the bubble, but you're in the playoffs. You made it.
Yeah, man. We're trying to go on like a Kemba Walker-like run, you know, back in the UConn days. You know, whatever it takes. I'm playing every other day. The only difference is there's no fans and we're not in the garden. But I think we've battled. We've done enough to get to this point. It's what we wanted, an opportunity to be in the playoffs. And now you got to turn the page and prepare for your next opponent.
So take me back. Last game of the regular season, or the seeding games, Phoenix has won, Memphis has won. You guys have to win. Brooklyn goes up by 10 late in the third quarter, 102-92. And I'm sitting there watching on TV thinking, well, this is it. They're out of gas. They expended so much energy to get here. Tyler Johnson's hitting everything he's throwing up from everywhere on the court. Yeah. Was there a moment what is that? There's no timeout in there, so I don't know what that huddle between the third and the fourth is like. Is there a conversation? Is there a moment where you guys look at each other and you're like, I hope we got enough left here. Let's do this. Or are you just calm, confident?
I was confident because there's so much time left. So many things can happen in the game. We've blown leads historically, you know, in our past. You know, the Warriors series, you know, last year we were leading in every game, ended up losing. So we understood, you know, what it takes to sustain a lead. And we also understood that time was of the essence. So we had to kind of tighten up, get more stops, you know, be more sharp on offense. And I really just kind of chip at the league. But I think it's funny because we didn't really have time to huddle up. We kind of looked at each other and we were like, we can't go out like this. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to lose, we need to lose like in the playoffs. We need to lose like putting our best foot forward. And we felt like we weren't giving ourselves a chance. And one of those timeouts, Dame was like, I can't remember, like, I don't want to misquote him, but he was basically like, they done lost their mind if they really think they've beaten us. Like, that was dead serious. And I'm like, you know me, I'm just kind of like laughing, but I'm like, yeah, I hear you. Like, there's no way we can lose this game. You know what I'm saying? We got things that we want to accomplish, and the story don't end like this. You know what I mean? We can't let the story end like this, you know, against the Brooklyn Nets team that's missing like half their roster. We can't go out like this.
So I rewatched it today on the Lillard logo three, the literal logo three. You're on the left wing. You're running up on the left wing. And I just wonder, when you see him pick up his dribble and rise up, are you like, oh, damn, he's actually going to shoot this? Are you expecting a pass at one point? And then he makes it, and you have no reaction. You just get back on defense. So take me through, like, your eyes are seeing that. What are you thinking?
He can shoot from half court effortlessly. So it doesn't surprise me when he makes it. Sometimes it surprises me that he does it, because I always tell him, I'd be like, toe the line. But they were trapping him, and I understood, like, his mentality and his approach was that, like, look, I'll shoot it from out here with no hesitation, with confidence. And it's funny because he's shooting like 47% from like beyond 35 feet. And I've watched his preparation, him and Phil, and like what he does on a day-to-day basis to kind of prepare for those moments. It's not like he just goes out there and says, today I'm going to shoot from 40 feet. Like, he works on this. He's confident in it. He has the form. It's an effortless shot. So when he makes it, I'm not surprised. But then when I watch the highlights and I see it, I'm like, damn, he was really far. Like, his heels are on the half court, like the circle of the half court. So I don't celebrate, because I expect, like, you expect greatness. When you see greatness all the time, you get used to it. You know what I mean? You become accustomed to it. It's just like another part of your day.
Now, you did celebrate a little bit after the last pull-up over Ja that gave you guys a 6-point lead. And you were, I mean, I took notes on the fourth quarter to prepare for this. I mean, you had two step back threes, one of which was a pick and roll that you didn't really use the screen, and it kind of reset, and you went through your legs like four times and got like a lot of space and hit it through. That's one of the best runs you've ever been on. That was like, just like, you are always a prime candidate to get someone backpedaling or stumbling. You just have a little funky craft to your game. But that was one of the one where you went through the legs like four times. That was one of the best ones you ever had.
I was just trying to create space, man. That's the biggest thing in the fourth quarter. It's more so about, you know, what you can do offensively. There's good defenders out there. He played good defense. It's just more about you know, having the confidence, knowing what you want to get and being able to deliver. And I pride myself on being able to hit tough shots. And I think at that moment, I knew it was winning time and I want to do whatever it took for us to win. And I got to my spots. And at that point, you know, you feel like it doesn't matter who's guarding you as long as you get to where you rehearsed. I've rehearsed, you know, these moves. I've rehearsed these moments in my head over and over again. So now I just feel like I just have to show up.
After the game, you're doing your post-game interview. I think Lisa Salters was doing the interview. I can't remember. Asked you about your back, playing with a broken back. And you break into a Mike Tyson. Like, this is a deep cut. A Mike Tyson, I broke my back. Spinal. So that, my, like, you're much younger than me. You missed prime Mike Tyson. Okay, you didn't live through prime Mike Tyson. I think there was some research and some YouTube archival research that went into the Mike Tyson moment. So please take me through how that came to be.
Nah, it's funny because as soon as I found out my back was fractured, the first thing I thought was the Mike Tyson. Like, I broke my back. I'm looking at the picture and I'm like, I broke my back. And I was literally thinking about it. But it's funny because when she asked me that, I wasn't even going to say that, but Dame said it. And like, then I was like, I have to say it now. I sent my fiance the actual video. Like, I was sending it to people like as a joke, but no one had known that my back was broken yet. Just like my family, and I was sending it to them, and they were like, "It's not funny. Like, why are you laughing about this?" And I'm like, "Well, look at the video. It is kind of funny." But it was just a moment. I have a lot of respect for Mike Tyson, and people were like, "Well, Mike's gonna be mad." And I'm like, "Man, I don't know Mike personally, but I really like Mike Tyson. I like what he's been able to do to the sport of boxing. I look forward to seeing his return because he was vicious."
Oh, in my childhood, like, I'm 42. Mike Tyson was what Mike Tyson losing to Buster Douglas. Everybody my age remembers exactly where they were, exactly what their reaction was. And like, we used to have these discussions, like, how much money would it take for you to just take one punch from Mike Tyson? And I'd be like, nothing. I could die. No amount of money is worth it.
You see how he's moving at 50 plus years old?
I don't even want to. I'm still scared of him.
The way he, like, all of that, no chance. He's a physical specimen, man.
You don't want to talk about your back. I get it. But, like, people hear broken back and they think, like, he's in traction. How can he move? Obviously, you're playing basketball and playing at a high level. But, like, do you feel it? Is it just something you feel constantly? Can you sleep normally? Or do you have to sleep on your side? Like, what is it like?
I had to change how I sleep. I normally sleep on my belly, but I've had to change how I sleep weeks ago. But it's just more so pain tolerance. It is what it is. But you know, fortunately, like, where the fracture is at and like the type of fracture it is, I'm in a spot to where I can recover from it. The only way to truly recover is rest. So you just treat it and rest it as you see fit and try to, you know, do what I can to take care of it, you know, wrapping it up and using certain ointments and treatments to kind of get me over the hump. But other than that, it's just more so pain tolerance. I have a good pain tolerance. I'm fortunate enough to be able to play through a lot of things. I haven't gone through a lot of injuries in my life before this to where it is what it is. I don't know if you've ever fractured something, but that's what it feels like. It feels like it's it's injured. You know what I mean? It's hard to describe, but if people that have had fractures, you know, not just in their back, but in their bodies, they understand like what it feels like. It's hard.
I have never fractured anything. I can't relate. No fractures, knock on wood, in my life. Very important question logistically. Have you been upgraded out of the yacht club? Did you have to switch hotels? Did you want to switch hotels?
I didn't want to switch personally. I like my setup. It's beautiful. They're taking great care of me here. But we will be leaving like Wednesday. I think we play Tuesday. We'll be leaving Wednesday morning. I don't know. It's weird. Now I got to pack up all this stuff and start over, I guess.
See, if you lose game one, I'm going to chalk it up to anxiety about switching hotels. After all, I think this is an unfair disadvantage for game one. You should have switched already.
Yeah, I mean, they basically told us to pack up, and when we leave to go to the game, they're going to take our stuff. After the game, we'll come back here to the yacht club, stay the night. Like, you have, like, an overnight bag, and then in the morning, you'll leave to go to the other hotel. I mean, they want to make money. They basically want to allow it to open up to families outside of the NBA and make some money. I get it.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes! Catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, watch out for them. You name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning, wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low impact class, they've got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey, learn the basics, and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So Lakers game one is Tuesday. You spared yourself a second play-in game by winning the first one, which I think was huge. You get a couple of days of rest. I think the number one question on everyone's mind in this series is from your guys' perspective is, have they just expended so much energy to get here that, yeah, the Lakers have been a little ragged on offense. LeBron hasn't looked quite the same, but does Portland with CJ hurting, with Nurk really having just come back. I mean, Nurk has been unbelievable after a year off to play at this level. Collins just got hurt in the play-in game. Do they have anything left for this series? I know what you're going to say, but do you have enough left for this series?
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Okay. All right. That was succinct. I want to give one guy on your team some love. Everybody has noticed the shooting that Gary Trent Jr. has provided to you. I was very happy that Draymond Green went on a Twitter thread about a veer back steal that Gary Trent had against Brooklyn, because he had another one in crunch time against Memphis, and he had another deflection. He had that beautiful like tip touch pass. I don't know if it was to you, but it was to someone who was alone on a fast break. That dude, forget the shooting. Well, don't forget it, because you need every goddamn point to get to this point. That dude is making these little winning plays all the time. He had a nice regular season. Like, he can score a little bit. He can hit some ISO shots. Like, you could tell he was becoming a part of your team. Are you surprised how big a part of your team he's been able to become?
I'm not surprised, because I've seen the work, and I say it all the time. I've been in a situation like that, you know, where you're good enough to play, but you're not playing. You're capable, but you're getting DNPs. I know what that does to you on the inside, how it drives you, how it motivates you. And he's hungry. He's taking the game seriously, obviously, with his NBA DNA. I always said it. He has NBA DNA. Like, it's in him. Now all he had to do was work and get an opportunity. The work met the opportunity, and the rest is history. The shot-making is what it is. We always knew he could shoot. But it's his approach to the defensive end, understanding that that's going to get him out on the court and keep him on the court, is what's taking him over the hump. He's always been a dog. He's always been aggressive. He's always had confidence and never lacked. But now the world is starting to see he can do the little things. He has the intangibles. You know, he's smart. Like Draymond noticed, the casual basketball fan doesn't notice that you have to know when to switch. And sometimes it's not even a call. It's just, he got to step on me. I got to veer back. I got to take out the big's legs. And usually you fall into steals like that. But this is a guy who's, this is his first real experience as a player playing meaningful games, you know, towards the postseason. And he's already picking up on those little things. Five steals, countless deflections, the pressure, the confidence, he's talking trash to all stars. It doesn't matter to him. It's just another person out there that's in the way of what we're trying to accomplish. And that's the type of guy you need. That's the type of mentality you have to have when you want to be successful. And as he continues to gain more years of experience, the respect will come. But the real ones already know and respect him.
Well, he's about to get some reps on arguably the greatest player of all time. So good luck to him in that regard. Did you guys do anything to celebrate after the Memphis game? Did you, or did you just go home and rest? Did you have a dinner? Did you do anything fun to mark the moment?
I mean, we always, you know, take the time to celebrate milestones. With this being my seventh year in the league, seven straight years of the playoffs is something to be proud of. And for our staff and our organization to have set goals before the season and face so much adversity, we definitely wanted to recognize that. But at the same time, you know, we've done what we expected ourselves to do. We expect to be in the playoffs every year. So now it's more so turning the page. But, you know, we all got a lot of wine out here. So, you know, it's only right that you pop some of it. You know, we got bubbly. We got a little variety of everything. Melo brought out the CBD, the Bordeaux, some type of Bordeaux. What is it called? C.
I don't know. You're talking. You're speaking. You're
something.
My wine standard is whatever is in the fridge at my house, or in the wine holder thing.
CDP. Chateauneuf.
Aren't you starting a wine label?
This is like Margot Burgundy, something else. Like I'm a Pinot Noir guy. Like here, like Mello is Burgundy and all of that. So it's CDP.
I'm gonna have to Google it. So there was some celebration.
Yeah, we had 78, 91.
Who's the best ping pong player on the team?
Ping pong. I haven't played. Not me.
Not you.
Myers is probably one of the best ping pong players I've ever seen in my life.
Myers Leonard, not currently on your team.
Not currently on our team. Pargo is good. He's on staff. Jamal, one of our video coordinators, he's good. But I haven't seen players play, so I'm not even sure.
So is this – a couple more questions. I know you got to go. Is this fun, or has it become tiresome to be away from your fiance and everyone to be away from their loved ones? Or have you grown? Obviously, the winning is fun, and the playoff run the run to the playoffs is fun. But like, has the experience become normal enough that you're looking around like, okay, this is actually kind of enjoyable, or is it a grind?
I mean, you miss your family. I miss my fiance. I miss my dog. I miss my family, being around, you know, my inner circle, your chef. You miss all of those things, but you have a job to do. At the end of the day, you have a job to do, and I think we've done a great job of continuing to spread the message and what we feel is important, not only for ourselves but for this world, and also being able to play the game. So that's been fun for me. It's challenging at times, but I would equate it to like pre-draft. You know what I mean? You move usually. You go somewhere that you're not familiar with, and you begin working out. It's kind of like pre-draft or like an AAU tournament that just never ends, or a kids camp, where you're just hooping with your friends every day, competing and kind of just enjoying basketball like in its purest form. You know what I mean? It's just us here. I probably Melo signed one autograph since he's been here. Like, can you imagine like a Melo, like all these all-star caliber players, Giannis, who go 30, 40, 50, 60 days without having to take pictures or sign autographs? We just hoop and that's it. So I think guys have enjoyed that aspect of it. We'd like to have fans and go through those things, but I think this is where you really see who's good in any form, any setting, because there's nothing besides your internal motivation.
Did you watch the Grizzlies and Suns games on the last day of the season, or did you just like, were you just like, tell me to score and we'll see what we got to do?
Well, I took a nap and I woke up like, and Devin Booker was killing, and I was like, all right, they're not losing, so I guess I'm playing tonight. Because I was thinking like, if both these teams lose, I ain't playing tonight. I would just chill out, rest up, and get ready for the play-in. But once they won, I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to get dressed, take a shower, and business as usual.
Well, look, I know you got to go. You're generous to give us a little time here. I'm glad you mentioned the seven straight playoffs thing, because, you know, you guys – That matters. And I think you've got three first round losses, two second round losses, and a conference finals loss. And I was saying last week, like, you know, you can poke fun at the Blazers as like, oh, they're the Joe Johnson Hawks of the Western Conference. But like, the Western Conference is a monster every single season. Just getting in the playoffs is hard. Getting to the second round is hard. Getting to the conference finals is hard. I don't care who's hurt, who's out, this and that. Like, it is something to be proud of, and I think it was cool to see you guys fight for it. And I think it's cool to hear you that you're proud. It's not – we do have this discourse in the media where it's like you either win the championship or you've accomplished nothing, or you've gotten to the finals, you've accomplished nothing, and you live in a different reality every day. You know how hard it is.
Yeah, I think two things. First, I was just along for the ride the first couple of years. I didn't play anyway, but we got to learn what it was like to be a part of a winning culture, winning DNA. And secondly, people forget, like, there's one winner every year. So technically, we're all losers. If you get to the finals and lose, you still lost. So, you know, it's people misconstrue it. I think that the biggest thing you need is experience. And as you play in the playoffs, you get battle tested, whether you get swept or not. You know, we've gotten swept against the Warriors. We got swept against the Pelicans. You learn a lesson, a valuable lesson in that, and it helps build character. And I think in order to win, you must learn from losing. And we've lost a lot. We've gone through, you know, tough wins, tough losses, and we've learned how to finish games by not finishing them. We've gone through it. So now you have a better understanding of how to do that and how to approach it. So I'm thankful for all the losses, the wins, and everything we've gone through because it builds character. And now I think that we're ready, you know, to continue to take those next steps.
Well, good luck. I hope for some medical miracle your back feels like 10% less painful tomorrow and a little like 1% every day. But it's always good to see you. I wish I were down there to watch the games, but I'm not. But be safe, be well, and good luck against the Lakers, CJ.
I appreciate it, man. You take it easy. You have a good one.